Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to all of you. This is GTE Radio 193.5, and the show is called The Power of Practice, Part 1. I had an amazing interview with one of Tony's friends, Peter Belk, from the Tampa Mad Theater. And as you listen to this interview, the applications to what we do each and every day, the world of banking is so dependent upon perfection that perfection in the performance that we put on each and every day is actually it actually starts in practice. Because we're talking to someone who's involved in the dramatic arts, that standing ovation that the actors get at the end of a performance or that musicians get at the end of a performance was actually earned in practice. And so the next two podcasts will be a little bit longer, but I hope you'll take some time to listen to them because the learning points are so obvious. And so we're going to go straight to our interview with Mr. Peter Belk. Peter Belk. Hey, Peter, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you, Jason. Thanks for having
me. Hey, it is so good to have you. Yeah. Our studio audience thinks you're going to give them free tickets to Broadway shows. I told them that that's not going to happen. So just ignore them.
Yeah.
Just ignore them.
Sorry.
Hey, listen, first and foremost, tell us a bit about you, how you got into music and your career up to this point.
Sure. Well, I grew up in Jacksonville, Florida, and I started taking piano lessons in fourth grade. I joined the band the year after that, and then when my high school schedule allowed, I also put choir in the mix because once I got started in playing the piano, I was hooked. And it was just one of the most internally gratifying things I'd ever done. So I just kept writing. I went on to get my bachelor's degree in piano performance, and then I moved down to the Tampa area to get my master's degree in conducting, which I developed as another part of a facet of music that I just loved. And since then, I've worked as a university professor. I've directed bands and orchestras and choirs at the high school level and at the college level. I've been blessed to do so many different things in music, and it's been fantastic. And then getting into musical theater, I had a friend who was connected with Mad Theater of Tampa, and in late 2014-ish, he asked if I wanted to join him in working on this production of Rent with Mad Theater. And I'd always wanted to try musical theater, but I'd never really had an opportunity to get into that or get my foot in the door with that. So I jumped at this chance and said, sure, I'll do it. And then since then, I just caught the bug and couldn't let go. So I've been hanging on for the ride, and I've been honored to continue working with Mad Theater since then. And we're still going. We've got a couple productions in the works right now, and it's been a lot of fun, and they're great people, and I love it.
On our show a couple weeks ago, this is a special broadcast on our national show, my co-host, Dr. Troy Hall, we were talking about what we all felt is this compression of time, that we all feel like time is kind of sped up. It's Monday, then it's Friday. And we talked about it in the context of our business, which in his case is banking, about how the members and customers want things faster. They want it right away. And I said, yeah, it's like we've gone from 60 beats per minute to 180 beats per minute. And he said he sees it more as, and I said, you need to hire people that can keep up with that tempo. And he says, no, what it really is, you need people that can keep up with that tempo for long periods of time. And the first thought I had, and this is my second question for you, when I was there at the rehearsal,
sure,
I saw the score. You were there playing, it wasn't a piano, it was like a keyboard for the actors. You were doing all the background music for the actors. And I looked over your shoulder at the score, which must have been about 4 feet long, by the way. And you had it kind of balanced. And I said to you, I said, my goodness, there's like six time and key signatures on the first panel. I was just totally blown away. Tell us about the complexity of a score for a Broadway play like that, or for a performance like that, rather.
Sure, it is very complex, and there are time changes and meter changes and key changes just thrown in where you least expect them sometimes. And you know, one of the things that sets, to me, a lot of the musical theater genre apart, because there's so much really fantastic music in this world in all genres. I get people all the time asking, well, what's your favorite type of music? And I say, well, I don't know that I have a favorite. I just think there's really great music in all the genres. But for me, musical theater has a lot of ability to just keep you on your toes. There's key changes and time changes everywhere, and you know, sometimes there's a joke in the musical world that all the great pop songs in the last 40 years use the same four chords over and over, and those are a lot of fun to sing, but one of the things about musical theater music is that it's fun to play, because for me, if I'm playing a pop song sometimes and it's one of those same four chord songs, it's not a whole lot of fun to play. It may be a lot of fun to sing and a great song, and I never want to discredit the work that that artist has put into it, but it's not always the most fun to accompany. Musical theater music is so much fun to accompany, in part because they're not the same thing. They're mentally stimulating, and they can jump from this loud, strong, up-tempo, driving kind of thing to a soft, tender, emotional moment just at the snap of a finger, and then you're always on your toes. It's almost like a musical roller coaster. And to me, it's just as invigorating as an actual amusement park ride.
That's a great way to put it. It's kind of funny you said that about the four chord. There's a famous scene in a movie that I like very much. Gary Busey plays the lead role of Buddy Holly. And in one scene, he's teaching these kids that live in his apartment building how to play the guitar, and he teaches them four chords, and he goes, that's all you'll ever need,
yeah,
you know, to be a rock star, you know.
There you go.
And so that's just kind of funny, but you kind of hit on what I wanted to ask you about next. It was not just the music and the performance that I thought was so impressive, but the fact that you had to sync it with the words and the movements, and I think most importantly, the emotions of the actors. And I talk about this all the time on the power of performance, that you've got to pick the right tempo and you've got to pick the right, you know, emotion when you're talking to people based upon what they want. You know, I had a situation for the first time ever two Saturdays ago where I looked at my mobile banking app and realized there were $700 in charges that I had nothing to do with. Someone had obviously skimmed my – now, of course, the bank gives your money back right away and everything's – fine, but when I called the bank, I mean, I got exactly what I wanted from that person. In musical parlance, I got staccato and tempo. Please give me your number. We will cancel it. I will send you a new card. We are so very sorry. You'll get some stuff in the mail. She didn't ask me, well, let's talk about your long-term financial. That would have been the wrong tempo. It would have been the wrong emotion.
Right.
I was very, very concerned. And so talk to us about that. You've really got to be paying attention not just to the notes on the page, but out of your peripheral vision, which is somebody in band, it's one of the first things you learn before you ever play a note is to keep your eyes peripherally on the baton. Tell us about
that's true.
Having to sync up that music with the action, with the actors.
That's true. Well, it's interesting because as you saw in rehearsal, when the actors are performing in what is we have marked off as our stage area, I was sitting in front of them, kind of where the audience would have been in a real stage playing the piano so that I could hear them and they could see me a little bit. But when we get into the actual theater space, we perform in this little black box theater. So there's no orchestra pit or anything in front of them for me to see. The band is actually behind the stage. So we're visually cut off. And it's a little tough sometimes to coordinate what's happening on stage. So we've been working with this little video camera system so that I can kind of see what's on stage. But otherwise, we don't really have much visual connection to each other. So this kind of ties into the emotional part. One of the best parts of the rehearsal process to me is developing that music bond with the actors over the course of the process. And so they get to know me, I get to know them, but not just in a personal way, in a musical way. And we start to feel the music together. So even though we can't see each other at all because there's stage walls between us, by the showtime, a lot of times I can just kind of sense the precise placement of what they're going to do because we've worked this song so much and we have built this connection. And that absolutely goes for the emotions too. As a quick anecdote, there's a specific spot in Next to Normal, very near the end, where one of our actors, Stephen Reardon, who played the character of Dan in Next to Normal, had this beautifully touching moment, and his character is weeping near the end of the show, right as this final song is beginning, and that song just begins with piano accompaniment. So it's basically just up to me to provide the musical environment for this moment. And I had started the rehearsal process with an idea of the emotion that opening would convey from an accompaniment standpoint. But once I saw what Stephen was doing with it and the deep level of emotion that he put into that moment, because that moment had several different interpretations he could have done, and I saw the one that he chose, I made an interpretive choice regarding the music, making it match what he was doing. So I slowed it down a little bit more than I would have thought. I added a little bit more gentleness to the touch of the chords. Nice. And some of these little details are things that the average listener may not ever pick up on because they didn't really have anything to compare it to. But for me, I had this idea and changed it, and it made that moment much more meaningful for me personally. And it adds to the investment that I put into the show. So it just kind of gives me a little bit extra takeaway as a performer in the show. But the emotions are absolutely crucial. You're right. And it's so much fun to get to work with these actors and feel their emotions and what they're doing with their characters and try to come alongside them and help create this moment for the audience to see.
Yeah, you can't imagine, Star Wars without the music. You can't imagine Jaws without the music. It's just such an integral part. And you're exactly right, the way it sets the mood. And that's my point when I talk on the power of performance. You've got to pick the right, feeling, the right melody for the occasion. We've all called businesses that have advertised as, we're the friendly place to do business. And you call them and they answer the phone like this: ABC Company, how can I help you? And you're like, wait a minute, that doesn't match. That doesn't match
exactly
what you promised me. That doesn't set the tone very well. When I was traveling a lot, I mean, some of the worst service I ever got was at hotels and in the airport. And it would just be kind of, funny to be walking through the airport and they'd have all these, welcome to the airport, the friendliest airport in America. And the people behind the counters were a bunch of mind-numbed robots. It was just, again, that lack of harmony. It just didn't match up. Hey, folks,
sure.
We're visiting with Peter Belk. We're talking about his career as a musician and, of course, most importantly, how it relates to the business that we're all in each and every day. We all put on a live performance each and every day. And like I said in the intro, if you're not getting the performance you want, you need to take a closer look at what we would call in the corporate world how you're training or how you're practicing, what is in dramatic and musical parlance referred to as rehearsal. And so join us for part two of that next week because it gets even better. Such a great, great interview. I'm going to be sharing this with my national audience as well. But keep that in mind today, every day, when somebody, whether you're on screen, whether you're on the phone, whether you're in person, the music and the tempo and the melody have to match the occasion. What our audience sees and hears is so important, so very, very important. The great show we had with Jared, being on screen is just like being on stage. And so the training that we do here at GTE Financial is so important to the finished product that people see when that on-screen advocate comes up, when that phone is answered, when that person steps up to the counter, wherever it occurs, the practice is what leads to a performance we can all be proud of. And as I'm fond of saying, let's continue to be the people we were in the audition or in the interview. Let's drive our competitors crazy and let's be in business forever. Until next we speak, we'll talk to you all next week. Bye.